Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is, well, it's just one person, and it's the fancy feet, Jane Fawcett.
It's not about the feet.
Fancy lady Jane Fawcett is here with me, and I guess everyone quits on us.
Yeah,
and
so I'm the only faithful one.
That's right,
here.
Jane. You know, anytime we needed somebody, Jane, we would call you, and you're there.
I'll be there.
I went to a wedding this weekend. I don't know why I just thought of this, but the song that they walked back down the aisle. So they got married and they walked back up the aisle was,
I'm
a leave, I can touch this guy. It was awesome.
Good old Space Jam.
Totally.
Good old Space Jam.
So Sarah's in London right now. She's watching the U.S. women's soccer team. I don't know what
they're playing right now.
Yeah, they. Well, I don't want to give away the results.
Oh, got
but,
it.
They did. They are playing right now. And then she's actually on a mission trip out there. Kevin is at Gilroy Gardens with his
family. Ooh, garlic festival.
Gilroy Gardens is like a little like kids theme park kind of thing.
Fancy.
So, yeah, you know, Kevin's high rolling. So.
High rolling. Man, too good for the spout. Just going straight to Gilroy.
Yeah, just me and Jane doing the spout.
Me and Christian. You know? Man, boring.
That's right. Now, Jane, you picked the music out this week, correct?
I did.
What's the music this week?
The music this week is from a band called Future of Forestry.
Uh-huh.
When I was a camper at Hume Lake, they were my summer band, but they were known as something like Silas.
Okay, so, I was literally just about to say, I feel like they have something to do with something like Silas.
So it's the lead singer. I don't know who else is. It might just be the lead singer. His name's like Eric something. That he continued on to something or Future of Forestry.
Okay. So
and I know their drummer is a friend of mine from Hume too, TJ Hill.
I'm actually positive that if you've been around like the church circles, you probably heard some of these songs before. So,
well, not this album. This is a new EP that they just launched
not too long ago.
This is off their they have a 4-song EP, but they just dropped an album that has more than just the 4 songs. So,
someone emailed me the other day and said, Sarah's music selection single-handedly in the last 3 weeks is better than yours for the last 60 episodes.
Really? It wasn't me, but I totally agree with this person. Except, well, I have to say I didn't hate the 80s music as much as I thought I would.
Oh, yeah. Last week's 80s music was good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We also got a good episode this week. Mike Slayton is going to sit down and join us throughout the episode. We're going to talk with him about Off the Front, residency, kind of what his role is at the well. Talk with him a little bit about the previous sermon series he is and any maybe hopefully next time he teaches here at the well. So he's going to sit down with us. This is a good get for the Spoutcast because Mike is a busy man, but he decided to come and hang out with us for a bit. So that's to look forward to. And then at the end, we are going to have a little bit of a game between Jane and I.
I'm looking forward to it.
Because Jane is not a fan of the Olympics. And
I mean, I'll watch it. It's great. I think it's whatever when it's on, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I got to get home and watch the Olympics.
And since it's just you and I, and I'm a fan of games, I figured I'd break out some Olympic trivia questions and see how well you would do.
Okay.
All right.
So in the office, you're like, I got a game for you, but I can't tell you. It's you against the money. And I'm like, game on. I'm all about the competition, but it's about the Olympics.
Do you want to win money, Jane?
Oh, yeah, I want to win money every day.
So that you got that to look forward to at the end of the show. So stay tuned for some sermon discussion as we talk about this new series we're starting for the next 3 weeks and then enjoy some Future of Forestry.
could see this happening. You guys, this is the prime example of somebody who had every single excuse and legitimate reason in the book not to go out and help somebody else connect with God. He's only been with Jesus for one stinking day. What does he know? Jesus, I mean, I don't even know all the doctrine and theology. You're not going to have me go through an evangelistic class? Where's all the, you know, the books I need to read first? And all the training that I need to have? And, you know, what about, you know, are you just going to leave me alone? I'm just alone here. I can't do this on my own. Will you just leave me at least a couple guys, come back in a few weeks and pick them up? And I think maybe even the bigger part would have been this. Man, I have been abnormal and crazy and had that reputation all my life. I don't even know if these people are going to even listen to me because I don't even have credit. And maybe there's even a little bit of, I just want to be normal too. And I'm going to go out there and say all this stuff and share this with other people. I'm just going to be crazy all over again. And I think that's the reason why some of us don't want to say anything either. Because Jesus did give them the reason. And I've already given it away, but he said to him, he didn't permit him, but he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. I gotta go, but you're the one.
Well, that was a clip of PJ from this last week, and we have Mike in studio with us. Mike Slayton, how are you?
Very good.
Mike, we're going to interview here in the next segment, but we figure we bring you in because you're a really spiritual guy. So
yeah, you're like a pastor and stuff.
I'm like a quarter pastor, yeah. You know, technically.
Whatever. More just of a pastor than me because I'm a girl and I can't have that label. But
Mike, if you remember, taught last week's sermon on He Is. Before we kind of get into PJ's sermon, though, maybe just wanted to kind of close out that series a little bit. Mike, did you enjoy this last series or?
The series as a whole, yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
You didn't enjoy teaching this in the series?
I enjoyed it. It was an interesting message. When you're talking about God's wrath, right. I told my wife when I got home, I said, I feel like I just need to go take a shower.
I actually think you told that to the midweek crowd as well.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, it was just heavy, right? Just totally. To tell people about what's coming and to try to be honest about the second coming of Christ and the wrath that's coming. I think Scott Carolyn said it best. He said, I just felt like I took the wind, the air out of the room when I was communicating. So
yeah. Yeah. I talked with Lacey about it and she was like, it's really good to hear like that message. It's just like, it's heavy. It's a lot, you know? So, but you also taught for He Is Emmanuel, right?
Yep.
As a whole, did you, I know that like me and a couple of the guys were teaching, like, this was like a real, this was a lot for like guys who don't teach as much. And I know that you teach a lot, but it's been a while since you've taught. Like, was it good for you to get back in the game? How'd you feel about the whole thing?
Yeah, it was fun, I guess, to teach again. And it had been, I think, probably since you taught last, which was last summer.
Yeah.
And I was comparing maybe last series to this series. And
yeah.
Pick your favorite, you know, parable is a lot different than, you know, the teaching style is different for us on this one, too. So I think it was just a lot more challenging.
Yeah.
I'd tell you that, Christian, the part that I enjoyed the most and maybe took away the most was the true... Maybe not true is the right word, but the difference in a team teaching aspect. Uh-huh. It's one thing to sit in a room and Brad say, hey, I'm teaching this week. What do you guys think about 1 Corinthians 7? You go, well, right. Maybe this or that. It's different when there's five guys in a room that are all teaching that text and they all feel the weight. And I was blown away by the insights of some of the guys that I got to teach with and just their insights on the text and different personalities and the way Oswald came out of different than Scotty Carolyn, the way that it was Jared or whatever. And it was just really helpful to have... a group of people really sharpen one another and go, man, I need to include that. That's brilliant. So there was a lot that I think I gleaned from even a guy like Scotty, who's never communicated before from the front. And from what I heard, did a great job and watching his prep was, I think it was amazing. So,
yeah. You know, it's interesting. We're here on the show and Jane and Sarah and Kevin, we all are different campuses and different pastors and we're hearing different things. And it's like, it's so funny because even though we all, you know, all the teachers sat in a room and talked about here's what we're going to do, all the messages came out very different. You know, even if you had the exact same everything, Jane will just go, yeah, I heard this message and I heard a different one and they're just totally different. Like even yours and Scott's message are the totally opposite. Mm. You know what I mean? But same central theme.
Yeah.
You know, so
And that's ultimately what we're aiming for, was this is the C note. And I'm sure you guys talk about that frequently, but that's what we're trying to communicate. And
yeah,
the way you get there and the way you're going to communicate based on your style needs to be your own, and you need to find your own voice. So
for sure. And so this whole, I guess it was like 7 weeks, 6 weeks of the He Is series, we've kind of wrapped that up. The building is painted, and we started a new little 3 week mini series called, I don't think it has a name. It's more just like we're going over our mission statement. Is that what you would call it?
So this last week we had PJ up with connecting people to God.
Right.
Next week will be Jared connecting people to each other. And then Brad will wrap it up in every neighborhood.
Yeah. And that'll kind of lead right into State of the Church. So it's a good little 3 week mini nugget to get our church back to like kind of the basics of who we are. And Mike, you've been around the well for a while, as has Jane, about 2 years. But our mission statement is not communicated as much as I think we want to.
Yeah.
And so the point of this series is to really get what we're about out there. Like PJ, in the beginning of his message, he said, like, if you don't know this like sentence, like that's not a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
So really helping people in our church understand our mission statement is, I think, the key to the whole series. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So.
And so PJ started with helping people connect to God, and he chose a story out of Mark 5. We kind of would know it as the story about the crazy guy that had these demons in him, and then they were cast out into these pigs, and they ran off the hill. And before we started, Jane was like, yeah, I had no idea where he was going to go with that sermon.
Crazy Larry.
Yeah.
What?
Did you know where he was going with it? Or?
No idea.
It was very interesting because you went to Israel, and did you go to that site?
Drove by it, but no, not actually.
You did not? Okay. So I remember we were at that site, and Rich taught the site, and it was like this really cool site, and I feel like I learned everything there was to learn about the site, and then he starts telling the story, and I'm like, I think he got his message mixed up, you know? Like, I didn't see where he's going, because like he even started his sermon with, that guy's my hero.
Yeah, remember? the guy he would want to meet.
Like, or the guy he would want to be.
Everybody wants to like meet Moses. I want to meet Crazy Larry.
Naked crazy guy. Yeah.
Now, Mike, for being a teacher, I was telling guys around, like kind of staff, this sermon to me as like a youth pastor is like, I wish I would have taught this sermon because you get to tell a story, you get to be animated, and it's a really fun story. Yeah. At midweek, Crazy Larry, or that's not the biblical term for this guy.
It is now.
So. Legion, we'll call him. It is now. He at one point, you know, PJ tells the audience that he's naked, and there's this kid that you can even hear in the midweek message that's just giggling the whole time.
I heard him.
And PJ asks Calm at the end, he's like, do I need to re-record? Like, is this kid like giggling? That's funny.
I was telling PJ today, I think that this message was like his most animated message.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, in the clip that we hear, he's like pretty mellow, does a serious PJ voice, whatever. But he was super animated,
Very animated
throughout most of the sermon.
It's funny that you use that word, because we kind of, our life group all attends Clovis together. So I heard the midweek message or watched it.
Yeah.
And one of the gals in our group is like a huge PJ fan. Like
she
accidentally, when somebody was announcing who was teaching weeks and weeks ago, said, and PJ, and she's like, yay! And then realized she was at church. She's like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. Put her hands over it, right? She was like, he was so animated this week. I've never seen him like
totally.
That.
Totally.
So.
Very different. This was the youth pastor PJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I've seen a lot of him as a camp speaker, and it was very
definitely
similar.
The camp speaker PJ, which was, it's great to see that. And so the point of the message is that there is this guy who has maybe 2,000 demons inside of him, and these demons are then cast out into these pigs, and you know, that's one side of the story. But the second side of the story is how Jesus approaches this man, and in his approach of this man, he kind of like changes this guy's life forever. And in the end of the story, we see this guy wanting to be one of Jesus' disciples, wanting to get on the boat with Jesus, wanting to be a part of this ministry that they're doing. Like, wow, you changed my life. You did all this. And I want to be a part of this. But Jesus says, no, you need to stay here and you needed to tell people about what you saw. And he says, stay in the Decapolis,
right.
Which is, it's not just one place. It's I think 10 cities, yep. 10 cities. So stay in this area and preach my name to these 10 cities. So, but basically what he says is connect these people to God.
Right.
So yeah. That's our mission as a church, is the same concept of we want to connect people to God. Jesus doesn't want us on the boat with him. Like, Jesus is essentially empowering us as churchgoers to connect other people to God. But we sometimes think like, well, no, I mean, I'm too scared, or I don't know what to do. PJ yeah. mentioned it in the clip. Like, I don't have formal seminary yeah. training, so I don't know how to lead people to mm-hmm. Christ. And it's really was such an encouragement to hear of just like, this is why I come to church. I come to church to be equipped mm-hmm. to then go out and to connect people yeah. to God, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the general overview of what the sermon was. I know you said you stopped by that site, but something that Brad mentioned when we were in Israel, he said, the funny thing is that in Matthew 6, there's a moment where Jesus feeds the 4,000. Mm-hmm. And you're curious as to, and it's in the Decapolis, and you're curious as to why there are 4,000 people in this town. Like, there shouldn't be that many people, and they're all surrounded to see this Jesus guy, and they don't have enough food. And one of the connections Brad makes, and it's not, I mean, you could kind of go either way with it, but he says, why is there 4,000 people? Well, maybe it's because this guy has gone around and told people about this Jesus guy. And the second he shows back up on the scene, everybody's there to see him. So he's connected all these people to God, and they just want to see Jesus, you know? So did you hear that connection at all? Or
I didn't, but that's a fascinating connection. And in line with that, we may have 4,001 now. So literally on my way driving over here,
yeah.
I'm on the phone with a buddy of mine who's been working on and has been friends with this gal for probably the better part of 4 years.
Yeah.
And talking to her and talking to her about things of Christ, and man, you could see God working in her life for a season, and then all of a sudden it just roadblock. She shut down, didn't want anything to do with Christianity, nothing to do with Jesus. And literally in the last week, she came to the well for the first time in
wow.
years. She texted my buddy after the sermon and said, I'm Crazy Larry, and God just clothed me. So
wow.
for a gal
that's
who's
so cool.
spent her life kind of far from God and processing and asking lots of questions, the funny animated PJ certainly hit very much on with the message of, man, this is the simplicity of the gospel. This is our job.
Totally.
You see a crazy guy that's, you know, the least and last turn to him and then go to a city worth of people. And maybe that's why those guys were there, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not saying it's 100. I mean, it's not 100% accurate, but
right.
it's more just like, I would like to think that the story doesn't end with Jesus floating away on a boat. I would like to think the story ends with this guy sharing the gospel to other people. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier. You said it's the simpleness of the gospel. I feel like this message was the simplicity of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at discipleship, and it's like we look at the anatomy of a disciple mm-hmm. and all these different things. And it's like, I think we miss the very core of it. And it's just like, you got to get outside of yourself. You got to connect with other
right.
people. Like, and I think culture, maybe in Fresno or church communities, you could probably say the same for Texas as well. Everybody comes to mm-hmm. church.
Yep.
And I think that we oftentimes miss the fact that, oh, wait, we're supposed to be the church mm-hmm. outside of these walls.
Okay.
And I felt like this was a very simple, like, guys, wake up.
Like kind a of thing. Push in the right direction.
Yeah.
I think one thing that our team's been talking about is just the idea of people not feeling like they're equipped to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the gospel because you've gone through the process of being saved from your sin. So like replicate what yeah. you heard before. And yeah. we're all equipped with the Holy Spirit, and allow him and trust him to do a work through you to communicate to other people
yeah.
and your life should be also a visual communication of it too. So
yeah.
I think there's so much weight on, but I'm not seminary trained, or I haven't like done this, that, or the other thing, but
I haven't gone through Wells Discovery class.
Yeah,
so I can't,
like, there's so much about, I think you're the one who says you tell yourself the gospel every day. Is that the truth?
It's not me. That sounds brilliant.
Somebody
sounds like the truth, but maybe not Mike.
You, but that is a constant reminder of what you've been saved from, and just replicate it. Like
yeah.
it's that easy to just remember.
So I don't know what it's like at Clovis, but at North, they've been doing something, Jordan and PJ have been doing something where, and they did it last week when you taught as well, but they'd come up on the stage and say something to the extent of, if somebody brought you to church this week, talk to them about something you're learning, because so often we think, well, we got to talk to the pastor. We got to get the pastor to, you know,
seal the deal. Yeah. Right.
Communicate the gospel. And I overhear things every once in a while at the well, but I overheard somebody kind of being upset about that because they're not seminary trained. Like you can't communicate the gospel to somebody if you're just a random who's going to church. But I think our church's hope is that you would be able to communicate the gospel to the person next to you. You would be able to connect them to God.
Yeah. I think too, because I had a guy talk to me about, do we have any formal evangelism training? And I said, no, we don't. But encouraging him, like, that should be happening in a life group. That should be happening in your everyday conversations. Yeah. Like, it's great to. I don't think that it's bad to have a formal training. I think that's a great tool, but it should just be a tool.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be something that has to continually happen.
Yeah,
yeah. You want to make sure people are equipped and know what is the gospel, because boy, you'd be amazed at how muddy those waters get quickly on what needs to happen and what. So I think that's important, but you're right. It needs to be the simplicity of the people that are there. Yeah. The other cool thing that happened as a result of PJ's sermon, I'm sitting in church with one of the guys in my life group who's brand new to the faith. I mean, like, brand new.
Yeah.
His dad, his whole life has been like violently anti-church. Mm-hmm. Would not go. He's invited him since, you know, his life's changed and his wife's life has changed, and they've seen this, and his dad's like, no. Well, his dad remarried and his wife said, we're going to church, and he's like, okay, now I have to go. They sit through this message, and I'm thinking, boy, that's
amazing. Is this the first one, or was yours the first one?
No. So yeah, they missed mine, which was good. I'm glad they missed mine. But they heard PJ's, and the whole time as I'm sitting there, and the same thing happens at Clovis, hey, talk to the person next to you. I'm like, man, my buddy just gets to share now his story about, here's the life change that happened to me.
Right.
You've seen it. Here's the life change that's happened in my wife that you've seen. This is what we have. And no, I don't have a seminary degree. I work with concrete every day. But I am as equipped, and I'm the best person that God could use to share the gospel, more than a pastor, more than any of the guys at the campus.
Yeah.
That's who needs to do it. And it reminded me, and I'm so thankful that's enforced from the front every day of, listen, this isn't about paying superstar Christian athletes to share the gospel or whatever. Yeah. It's about we're supposed to equip the saints. And I love that value at the well.
Sorry. Because then when you talk to the person that you came with, you have that person in your life every day. Yeah. Where if they go to PJ after a sermon, that's like it pretty much. PJ's not going to stick alongside them for the rest of their walk. He's not going to be their accountability partner. That person can be.
Yeah. I think it's one of the, I wouldn't say a downfall by any means, of kind of like, 21st century church or whatever. You have this pastor up on the stage and you almost expect them to do all the work for you, because you get so almost like, I wouldn't say bogged down or whatever, but you just, after going to church for so long, you just assume, well, they're the most spiritual one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's everybody, but we sometimes lose the fact that it's like, I'm supposed to be the church.
Yeah.
And, I think that's what happens when there's a guy on a stage every single week. We elevate them to something that they're not. Their job is to equip us to then go and be the church. And you see that throughout the Bible, like people, yes, there are people that teach the word, but there are also people that are going and like really just connecting people to God. Yeah. So it's both. And I think church is good and to come and be equipped, but also connecting people to God. And then next week we're going to find out about connecting people to each other. And then Brad will close it up within In Every Neighborhood. So Mike, thank you for sticking around for this. And kind of, if you haven't heard this message, this is a good one, especially if you've been at the well for a while and you don't know our mission statement. That would be a sad day. Don't tell Brad you don't know our mission statement. Because not be happy. And all right, up next, we're going to interview Mike, talk with him a bit about Off the Front, and we'll do that next.
Remember when your time was cold, when you still would know it was. The furnace you from the fear. Silence brought you near as it was.
All right, we are back here with Mike, and you heard him on the last segment. Mike is a member of the Well Community Church staff. You oversee residency, correct?
Correct.
And but your staff time is about how many hours a week?
10 hours a week.
10 hours a week. So for the other, you know, millions of hours of the week.
Millions.
What else do you do?
I run a
because
nonprofit.
Clearly, I mean, it's probably not anything.
No, that's okay. It. 10 hours a week. That's all I work. So it's awesome. Then I'm on vacation.
Man, how
no, the other hours of my week that usually exceed 40 are running a nonprofit called Off the Front. I'm the executive director of Off the Front.
And if you've been around at the Well a while, you've seen at least an Off the Front sticker here and there, yeah, or a wristband here or there. Lots of people wear the shirts. I'm a big fan of the shirts. But what's kind of the history behind Off the Front? How did it start? Kind of what's the history of all that?
Yeah, I guess big picture. I've been a pastor here for, at the time, 7 years. And I guess total plus, you know, 10 throughout.
You were friends with Brad, correct?
Yeah, we met in 95, go way back. Good, great friend of mine. One of my best friends of all time.
Was that, sorry, I'm just getting the dates right here. Yeah, was that post Fresno State, pre Fresno State?
I met him after he left Fresno State to go to Texas to do his graduate work. So he had finished Fresno State, moved out there in 95.
So pre-mullet or post-mullet?
When did he have the mullet? It was pre-mullet. So
okay.
He had the long floppy up front hair when I knew him. So
you know, if you type in mullet on the Well Community Church page, uh-huh, like the front page, if you type in mullet, it'll switch to a picture of Brad with a mullet
and the bio
on.
Changes really? And everything.
Yeah.
It's but a little nugget. You don't type it in the search box. You just click something on the web.
No, you don't click anything. You just type mullet. So
Jeff Richman, that guy.
He's brilliant.
All right, so amazing. Met Brad after in Texas in seminary.
So that, if you want to back up that far, so developed a really cool friendship. 97, we got to go to Thailand together on a mission trip.
Okay.
And had been buddies for a long time. And we just kind of really started talking formally about, man, hey, Mike, I'm going back to Fresno. I feel like God's called me to plant a church. One day, if God were to open a door, would you be interested? And I was like, man, that's really interesting. So, yeah. So we kind of began praying about that. So that seed was planted in 97 in the KT guest house in Bangkok, Thailand.
Okay.
We interviewed out here, long story short, 3 different times. So wow. The first time, Brad was the college pastor at Northwest. Went out and interviewed, flew out here with my wife, sat at, you know, Mimi's Cafe with Buf and Mitch Ribera at the time and Danny Herwalt and Bill Smitkamp and Brad, and interviewed for the small groups director of the college ministry at Northwest Bible Church. They hired me. It was great. Was finishing up seminary, and then Buf died. And then they were like, oh, man, we're not really sure where we're going, and we kind of need to unhire you because the direction's changed.
So you hadn't
changed.
Even moved out here yet.
Hadn't moved out here. I was like 6 months left the seminary, and they just said, listen, love you, mean it, but we can't, we don't know where we're going, so we need to undo our decision. So I was like, okay, you know, and it was all right. So I took a job at a great church in Dallas I worked at for 18 months, loved it. From there, transferred to a church kind of north of my hometown, close to the Oklahoma border, and worked there for about a year, and it was a baseball bat to the head for about a year. It was the biggest desert that we'd ever been through. So when I left the first church in Dallas, called Brad and said, hey, man, we're kind of, we'd love to come. And so he's like, well,
I got nothing.
Yeah. So we actually came out, we interviewed, my wife was pregnant with our second kiddo, Callie, and we just felt the sense of, man, we're not ready to leave home yet. So we told Brad no that time, and he was pretty crushed because he thought it was like, listen, we just need to rubber stamp everything and it's going to be done and we're good. And the Well had already launched and we'll be good.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out to be the case. So we went to where we thought we wanted to be, close to family, and to kind of a new job. And it was horrible. And I was, you know, a piece of the horrible equation. And anyway, needed to mature and God needed to work a ton on me. At the end of that, basically said, I can't do this anymore. Left that job and called Brad and said, man, we're ready. And we prayed and processed and God's crushed us. And what do you think? And he's like, man, that job that I interviewed you for a year and a half ago, I hired a guy for last week. So we got nothing. So I'm like,
oh, who was that okay. that they hired?
Brett Garvin.
I don't know who that is.
Brett's old school. Okay. Brett's a great guy. I was at the Well and thought he wanted to go into ministry. He spent a year doing ministry. He was like, you know what? I kind of like computers. So neat dude. Great heart. And just felt like full-time ministry is not what God wanted for him. Yeah. Okay. So it was cool. So long story short, Brad and I kind of prayed and processed. And he said, man, if you're serious, I'll go create a hole for you so that you can fill it. I said, okay. So we went to the elders and said, man, this is what we need to do. We need to hire this guy. And long story short, God brought us out here and kind of part of the Red Sea. And we came out in May of 04, and that was the beginning of our journey here.
And then you were on kind of staff as a multitude of roles. Do we have time for all the roles you did?
No, it would take the end
but,
of the
But when I came on staff, you were our equipping director, and Cam was your admin.
Yep. Okay.
And then from there, Alex Acree was like your admin or something. Yep. And then I guess at that point, we started a Nehemiah series. And then kind of what happened from there?
Yeah, so we were teaching through the book of Nehemiah, looking at this everyday Joe that God kind of hit with the holy discontent. And I was teaching the piece where he goes public with his holy discontent. So for me, if you were
wanting to pretty much regular on the teaching schedule back then.
Yeah, I taught a little bit more. That was kind of a piece of my equipping role was to teach periodically. Yeah. So yeah, I did that from up front. God had been stirring something in me for probably the better part of 10 years that I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can describe it was this low level tension of, man, I've been the equipping director. I've done small groups. I've worn this hat. I've been a campus pastor. I've done all these things and they're all fine. They all need to be done. I don't feel called to do any of those. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to look up in 7 years and say, that's what's on my tombstone. I don't want to plan another guild. I don't want to plan another connecting event. I value them and believe in them, but that's not what God has for me. Mm. And Brad and I would have these very honest dialogues about, then, okay, Mike, here's a blank sheet of paper. Write down for me what it is. And I'm like, man, I don't know. And it was very frustrating because I couldn't articulate it.
Yeah.
So this series is what spurred in me my holy discontent that turned into Off the Front. So long story short, God used that moment of teaching through that book for him to go, okay, I prepared you for this. You've been in Fresno.
Yeah.
You didn't know that I was doing this groundwork to get you here, to be a part of this community, and now you're ready to go. So I was kind of Moses for 40 years in the palace going, I don't really understand why I'm here. And then God put me in the desert for 40 years. Yeah. And now it's like, this is why you've been getting trained and you didn't know it. And
right.
Launched from there.
So Off the Front is, you said, a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. What is kind of the overarching theme of what do you guys do?
Yeah. We are all about helping kids succeed in the race of life. That is our mission statement. That is our helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood.
Okay.
We help kids succeed in the race of life. Off the Front is a bike racing term for a person in a race who's gotten off the front of the pack. So the imagery is they're winning or succeeding.
Time out really quick.
You got it.
Have you ever seen this is the most vivid picture of Off the Front. In the Olympics, they have indoor track racing. And when somebody goes off the front, it's a really like intense thing.
Yeah.
But it's just when you see that happen, that was the clearest picture of what Off the Front meant to me. And what's that called? Track racing?
Or? Yeah, on the velodrome. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just slide back to the back, but they take the front and go to the back.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where that
that's the theory,
imagery came from. Yeah, so until you see cycling, there's a piece of it that's kind of, don't see the full aspect of it. In a bike race, it's getting off the front of the pack and staying out there. So you're kind of, you're breaking away, if you will. So that's kind of the idea. So in a sense, we do three things. We do, we work with kids in the impoverished areas of Fresno. We partner with schools and we help kids earn a bike lock and a helmet over a school year.
Okay.
So that's what we call phase one. Phase two, we help kids actively commute to school. So we're trying to deal with ultimately childhood obesity, get kids active. So we work with an entire elementary school and we help kids actively commute, walk, ride, whatever. And the last thing we do is kind of do a bunch of bike repair. So the bikes that we give away in our program, we service in the communities that we're in.
Right.
And that's kind of the nuts and bolts of Off the Front.
It's funny because I volunteered for Off the Front for a while and it's like you're having, it's so hard to battle childhood obesity. There's so many programs out there, but when you're in the school system, I remember the very first day you walked me into the classroom at Pinedale and over the loudspeaker, this was, what was for lunch.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, today's lunch is hamburgers or cheeseburgers, pizza, apple juice, ranch dressing, chicken, breaded chicken, yeah. and a corn dog.
Right.
And it's like, wow, you know, like yeah. they're not even setting them up to win exactly. there. And so your role for Off the Front is you come alongside them in the classroom, mm-hmm. help them with reading. A lot of the things I helped with was like they were prepping for tests.
Yep.
And so like reading tests, or I would have to go like, well, what's the summary of the book you just read? You know what I mean? And things like that. Yeah. So helping them in the classroom to then earn a bicycle.
Yeah. So academics is that piece that you're talking about. So we yeah. help the kids academically. The character piece is a big one for us. We take the six pillars of Fresno and Clovis Unified.
Yeah.
And help kids demonstrate positive character. And then service is the last aspect where they have to give back to their community or school or what have you. So
right.
that's in a nutshell how the kids have to earn their bikes. And there's points behind all that. And volunteers like you are in there and helping them and mentoring and cheerleading and coaching and, you know, motivating them to a big 9-month goal that
right.
Is far away at the beginning, but achievable.
How many staff other than yourself?
So I started about a year into it. We hired Shauna Walker at the time, now Shauna Andrews, and she is kind of the, gosh, do everything else person. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we have a part-time bookkeeper, and we have a grant writer that we kind of contract with. It does newsletters, grant writing, stuff like that. So,
okay.
And then we just hired a guy that's kind of doing bike repair. So oh, cool. a kid that thinks repairing bikes is the coolest thing in the world, and I just gave him his dream job. So yeah, so he's like, man, I get to wrench on bikes in my garage. Awesome. So
that's
yeah.
funny.
So there's five of us total.
Yeah.
And it's pretty small. I'm the only full-time staff.
Yeah.
And at that, I still work 10 hours a week at the well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's small and lean, and we got really good people.
Now you have a website that people can go on, which I think would communicate exactly what you're communicating right now, but also you can just kind of look at, you could see pictures of some mm-hmm. of the successes and, you know, if you're interested in volunteering or whatnot, yeah. you can obviously go on there and contact Mike that way. Yeah. But it is a really cool organization that I believe is kind of fighting the whole childhood obesity thing in a different way. And I've told you from the beginning, I think the thing I'm more passionate about is the obesity side of yeah. it than anything else. And it's like, it is really rewarding to see the kids get that bike that day. And I live in Pinedale. And
right.
so I see these kids riding their bikes mm-hmm. around. I drive by Pinedale Elementary and I see them in the, you know, the locked yeah. area. They're doing like a whole rehaul over there. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully they put on a bigger bike rack, because that bike rack only has like 4 slots in it.
That's our goal.
That's
we want to overwhelm every school and make them get more bike locks.
Cool. Cool. But yeah, I mean, it's a great organization to be a part of. And I don't know. What's cool is that you also get to be in the office, and you office at the well with
yeah.
us, right?
Yeah.
Jane has office next to Mike. How's that, Jane?
Oh yeah, that it was a little rough on some days. Mike, he's sometimes a meanie head. I mean, he's not always a very nice person. I mean, you're nice, but he just says what he wants and he doesn't care.
Mike's high achiever, correct?
Yes.
And persister.
Low harmonizer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 23%, Jane.
Oh,
yeah. But I have 4 girls at home, so they get all of it, and you just didn't receive. You got the Energizer, though. So
yeah.
You
oh, that's right.
You got fun Mike out again a little bit.
One of my first days on staff, you took everybody, and I happened to not be in there, and I was very upset, but you took everybody to Sonic. Like one of my first days on
Sonic. Oh, yeah.
And you said, we're going to Sonic. And then somebody said, Mike's Energizer's out. And I was like, wow, what does that mean? Like, I don't even know the whole Yud thing. So, well, hey, that's Mike, I feel like you just gave an amazing overview of what Off the Front is, and I appreciate you being here. And I don't know, is there any other thing you'd like to say about Off the Front or people getting involved or whatnot?
Yeah. We're, other than our staff, and I think even more importantly than our staff, our volunteers are the most crucial piece of the puzzle for
right.
us. As fall launches and we enter into now 6 elementary schools and a middle school, we are always in need of great people. So mm-hmm. if there are folks that enjoy working with kids and being a mentor, we need, you know, godly, Christ-focused folks to work in an organization. So right now is a time where we are ramping up and getting ready to launch. So website or whatever they want to hit, Facebook or what have you, all our information's out there, but we would be very interested in talking to folks about that.
And you guys do a bike ride every October.
We do.
That supports Off the Front yep. and helps Off the Front out. And that is a fun race. I'm planning on doing it this year. I'm sorry about last year, man.
We'll forgive you one time.
Okay, but I'll get my shirt, right?
Perfect. You still get your shirt. The shirts are cool this year, by the way, too.
Oh, wow.
We just finalized the design.
I'm excited. Cameron do it?
He did.
Cameron's been on the show before, so big fan of him. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for stopping by, and thanks for coming in the earlier segment. Stay tuned for a little trivia challenge with Jane.
Totally going to win.
And then we'll close out the show.
Time once had passed between my hands, the memories we can feel them fade like circles in the sand. A thousand thoughts, a thousand dreams lost within the day. A thousand ways for souls to touch the things that we should say, the things that we should say. It's been a cold, bitter night.
We are back.
We're back.
And it's trivia time.
Trivia!
Some spout outs to Jane and to Kevin. We miss you guys. Spout outs
to
the
whole... Sarah and Kevin.
I mean, to Sarah and Kevin.
Because here I am. Because you're faithful, right here.
But Sarah will be back in 2 weeks. But for fun, I decided to do some trivia with Jane because I like trivia. And if you remember back to the very first episode of the Spoutcast, we did some trivia
it's
with
true.
You.
It's true. Trivial Pursuit.
And it is Olympic season. So I figured I'd give I'd give you a few Olympic questions.
Okay.
To maybe spark your interest in the Olympics a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And... but also, just to spark your interest a little bit more, there's money on the line, okay?
I love the money.
Now, here's what's going to happen.
Stack that cheese.
I'm going to read a bunch of questions, and I will in the end of it, I will give you either a dollar for a correct answer.
Okay.
Or you can, in the end, I will ask you like one final question, and you can double or nothing.
Winner takes all?
You can double or nothing that money.
Got it.
Make sense?
Yeah, a dollar a question if I get it right.
Uh-huh.
Nothing if I get it wrong.
Nothing if you get it wrong.
And then at the end, is it one question that doubles my money?
One question
like
that
cash
doubles,
cab.
Doubles your money or you lose it all.
Okay, good.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
This is like real money?
This is real cash.
Okay, hold on. Let me get comfortable.
Okay, first question. Now, this is not just the 2012 Olympics. This is questions... over all the Olympics forever and ever. Because one of my favorite things about the Olympics is watching the little stories here and there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So these are some things I've picked up online or through the stories I've watched, all right?
If there's a question about Bruce Jenner, I'm totally going to get it.
There is not a question about Bruce Jenner.
Dang.
This is pretty simple.
Okay, good.
Where did the ancient Olympic Games originate? Oh, you want me to give me multiple choice?
Is there Rome?
Multiple choice. All right.
Wait, Greece.
All right. Is that your answer? I'll give you multiple choice. Israel, Syria, Greece, or Turkey?
Greece.
That is correct.
Woo!
Okay, so that's
$1.
All right?
All right.
Okay. When and where were the first modern summer Olympics held? Okay. 1804, Paris, France. 1864, Atlanta, Georgia. 1880, Sydney, Australia. 1896, Athens, Greece.
1804.
Paris, France.
Yes.
That is incorrect.
Dang it.
1896, Athens, Greece.
Oh, well, because it originated from Greece. Doi.
I figured I took you there.
Oh, man.
All right, so only $1, Jane.
Okay, still at the dollar.
All right, this one is for all you in head coverings. When were women first allowed to compete in the modern Olympic Games? Is it A, 1900, B, 1912, C, 1920, or D, 1932?
I'm going to go with... Wait, the first one was 1904.
First one was 1900.
Wait, no, I mean like the question previous to this was when in Athens, Greece?
When and where were the first modern summer Olympics held? And the answer was 1896. So the years for question three were 1900, 1912, 1920, and 1932. When were women allowed to compete?
1900 was Greece. Or
1904? 1896 was okay. Greece. Come on, Jane. Snappy, snappy, snappy.
Let's say...
3, 2...
The last one, D.
1932?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Dang it.
Jane.
Christian, I don't know anything about the Olympics.
You'll get some here. You'll get some here.
What was the right answer?
1900. They were pretty much allowed right away. So.
All right.
So what are the official languages of the Olympic movement? I crossed that question. That question I thought was dumb. Okay, this is a good one. Which person holds the all-time record for most gold Olympic
medals?
Michael
Phelps.
You sure?
I'm positive.
That is correct. Two questions.
$2.
Yep. Okay. This is kind of...
Hey, wait. You're proud of me on that one, right?
I'm super proud of
you. I like knew that one right away.
One of the ones was Bruce Jenner on here.
Really? Dang.
All right. The United States has won more medals at the Summer Games than any other country. Which country has won the most medals at the Winter Olympics? Is it A, Norway, B, Sweden, C, Jamaica, or D, China?
Jeez.
Jeez. Well, I mean, if you've seen Cool Runnings, you'd know the answer.
No. Just kidding. It's not true. What were the first two?
Norway, Sweden, or China? 3 seconds left. Three. Two,
Sweden.
One.
China.
Norway's the right answer.
All right. Oh, okay. My gosh, I'm failing.
All right, a couple more questions here. In 1960, Winter Olympics was held at Squaw Valley in California. It was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
If you even go to Squaw Valley nowadays, the torch is still lit there.
Really?
Kind of cool. Yeah.
It costs a lot of money.
What famous person helped produce the opening and closing ceremonies? Was it A, George Lucas, B, Walt Disney, C, Marilyn Monroe, or D, Elvis Presley?
What year was it?
1960.
Elvis Presley.
That is incorrect. Walt Disney. Jane, you are blowing it.
Christian, did you expect any less?
No, I feel like you might get this answer because you researched this next one. Sort of researched it. Which of these was not an actual Olympic event in the Summer Olympics? Which one of these is not an actual event in the Summer Olympics? Is it A, croquet? Of all time, this is forever. Has it ever been an event? A, croquet. B, lacrosse. C, pigeon shooting. Or D, tug of war. Which of these has never been an Olympic event in the Summer Olympics? Croquet, lacrosse, pigeon shooting, tug of war.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse is correct.
Woo! $3. So is that $3?
Okay. Now, this is a tie-breaking question. Well, you want one more to get your chances up?
Yeah. Right. I need more money.
Okay. 2012 Summer Olympics were held in London.
Yeah.
Where will the 2016 Summer Olympics be held? Oh, you don't know. I'll give you some multiple choice. Okay.
Wait, I think I know, but I want the multiple choice.
Tokyo, Japan.
Okay.
Cairo, Egypt. Rio, Brazil.
Rio.
All right. That is $4.
Yeah.
Now, do you want a double or nothing?
Double it. I'm going double.
You're going for it.
Eight is my favorite number, so I'm going for the eight.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
All right.
At the 1900 Summer Olympics, okay, 1900 Summer Olympics, winners did not receive gold medals. What were they given? And here's your multiple choice, okay?
Okay.
Was it animal idols? That's A, animal idols. B, cameras. C, an article of clothing. Or D, paintings. That's fair. That's good enough.
Okay. What was A?
An animal idol.
An animal idol, a camera, an article of clothing, or...
A painting.
Or a painting. I'm going to go with 1900.
Three, two, one.
An animal idol.
D, paintings.
Okay, but everybody else got a silver or gold or a bronze medal, and they got a painting?
They did not. They didn't even have other medals.
Oh, okay.
So, Jane, you got $0. Hopefully, if you were playing at home, you did a good job. But thanks for playing my Olympic medal game, Jane. I'll give you a high five. You could have had $4.
I could have.
That's all right.
Whatever. Well, if you're not in it to win it, then you're not in it.
I guess you're right. Well, hey, if you enjoy The Spout, you should tell a friend, because we would love more and more people to listen to The Spout. Also, check us out on Instagram, Facebook. We post photos all the time. And also, you know, if you ever see Dave Sather around, tell him, hey, get on the show. Yeah. All right, buddy?
I've tried bribery. It's not working.
All right. Well, this is The Spout.
And we're out.
Hey, we'll see you next week, Dave.
So you say